This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Atlanta Democratic State Senator Jason Carter today entered the race for governor on the Democratic side, of course. He is the second next generation from a famous family to enter a statewide contest. Michelle Nunn, the daughter of former Senator Sam Nunn, is already running for the U.S. Senate. So what does this say about the state of things in Georgia? Charles Bullock is the Richard B. Russell Professor of Political Science at the University of Georgia. Professor Bullock, welcome back.
Hey, thank you. Always a pleasure to be with you, Dennis.
Everybody talks about demographics. It seems that if the state was going to turn in favor of the Democrats, that might be a few years off. So why run now in a race with an incumbent with pretty good approval ratings and a Republican state?
The candidacy of Carter in 2014 is a long shot. But the Democrats have fallen off a mighty long way. You know, they have not won an open position in Georgia since 1998. So we know the Democratic Party has been in disarray. Their treasury is about exhausted. My thought is that part of what Carter may be doing is almost going out and taking one for the team. He's well-known, so he doesn't have to spend lots of money to get name recognition because of his grandfather's name. And so it may be that this is a first step towards rejuvenating the Democratic Party. So even if it doesn't come off with any victories in 2014, it could be building towards 2016. And what's really critical for the Democrats, if they're going to get back on their feet in Georgia, is to win the governorship in 2018. Because whoever's governor in 2018 is going to be presiding at the time we do our next redistricting. And if Republicans are completely control of that process, it's almost indisputable that they will still control the state House and state Senate as we go about that next round of redistricting. If they control the governorship, then they're going to draw districts which are going to make it very difficult for Democrats to have any hopes of winning the state legislature any time before about 2032.
So it's kind of three-dimensional chess here.
Really, yes, because 2018 will be a much easier challenge for Democrats because the incumbent won't be running again. And it's always easier to take a position away from the other party if you don't have to first defeat the incumbent to do that.
The Democrats will argue that Governor Deal already has two challengers from within his own party, State Superintendent John Barge, and he has David Pennington, a mayor from North Georgia. So they could say, well, this is a sign that maybe the Republicans are ripe for the taking this time.
They can make that argument, and they will need to have those kinds of arguments to keep the troops faithful. But again, I think everyone thinks of those two challenges being very much long-shot challenges. The governor is going to have a huge treasury available to help him with his reelection. Every indication is that he remains quite popular with Georgia voters. So unless there is some kind of huge late-breaking scandal, it's hard to imagine him not getting reelected. Now, again, there are certainly, and one can point to lots of examples where someone looks like they're cruising to victory, and then at the last minute there is some kind of scandal that comes forward, and that can derail a person even in the most secure of jurisdictions.
Can Pennington or Barge, given the way things are right now, weaken Governor Deal at all, even if they don't force a runoff?
I don't think they would. Now, certainly it will cost him some money, and sometimes that alone kind of then sets a person up for defeat. But I think that the governor is going to be able to easily replenish his treasury for whatever money he spends in the primary. Probably particularly the Pennington challenge is going to be one which, to the extent that it has an appeal, will be an appeal for the Tea Party folks. They may be disappointed if their favorite doesn't win, but it's would not think they would then cross over and vote for a Democrat. And what they might do is just sit out the election.
You've talked, though, about the Democrats kind of taking a strategic view, aiming for the future. But with Jason Carter and Michelle Nunn, even though they are the next generation, those names are Democrats from the past. So how can the Democrats say, hey, look, we're going to build a grassroots base,
right,
rather than go from the top down?
Good point you're making here, and that is, to some extent, that indicates the shortness of the Democratic bench. That if there were, say, several current Democrats holding statewide positions, they might be the ones who would be on the inside track towards getting nominated for governor or for Senate. And right now, Democrats don't hold any statewide positions. They only have five of the members of Congress. And so that kind of opens the door then for individuals whose main claim to fame may be what their ancestors had done.
But then how do those two people, Michelle Nunn and Jason Carter, make the argument to Georgia that the Democrats can be the party of the future, and how do they build up a grassroots network?
In terms of the grassroots network, and part of what they can maybe do is to get Democrats excited, enthusiastic, contributing money, willing to go out and work on a campaign. Because right now everything looks like Democrats in Georgia are pretty dispirited, and we know that their treasury is very thin. So they almost have to begin rebuilding the party. And the Democratic Party, because it dominated Georgia politics for so many generations, it doesn't have the kind of infrastructure that it really needs to go forward in future politics. And so these two candidacies may begin to draw people into the party and help start building that infrastructure.
So you're saying, in effect, they're buying time for the party in addition to pursuing their own individual campaigns.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I mean, they're making a commitment to help build a party. If we go back 30 or 40 years ago, we saw Republicans doing exactly the same thing, going out and running contests that even probably their most loyal supporters didn't think they had much chance of winning, but doing it hoping that some future election they'd reap the rewards. In our country, it is good when both parties are able to offer viable candidates, and that is what Carter and Nunn provide for Democrats as individuals who, one could look at it and say, I could imagine them actually, performing their responsibilities if they were to get elected.
Is that what's in it for Jason Carter, the idea that, I might take a beating this time, but if I make a reasonable showing, I'll still be around 4 years from now?
That's right. And I would have a certain claim. I would have an organization statewide so that if I decide to run again in 4 years, I've done a lot of the groundwork towards another campaign. And indeed, it might even be, he runs, if he loses, he might do like his grandfather did when he ran for governor initially back in 66 and lost, and just kind of essentially kept on campaigning for the next 4 years.
It's notable that he has so far at least said he's not going to resign his state Senate seat while he's campaigning.
And he doesn't have to, no. Although he cannot run simultaneously for re-election to the Senate and for governor. So, there is a price for him to pay, and that is he will have to give up his public position as of January of 2015, unless he gets elected governor. He will no longer be a state senator after that, so he won't have that platform.
So overall, is this a sign of vitality for the Democratic Party? And in the long term, do Republicans really have to worry, even if they might not be exactly quaking over 2014?
Republicans are sitting on a demographic time bomb. The state is changing. Just give a couple of figures here. If we were to go back to 1996, about 77-78% of the individuals who cast ballots that year in Georgia were white. In 2012, it was down to around 61-62%. The Republican Party has not had much success thus far in attracting voters other than whites. So unless the Republican Party comes up with a broader and more encompassing message that appeals to an increasingly diverse population in the state, then sooner or later they simply run out of enough white voters to win statewide. So, again, this is almost like the Christmas Carol and the ghost of Christmas yet to come. We see what the demographics suggest. There's still time for Republicans perhaps to chart a different course, but if they don't, then in time, Democrats are going to stage a major comeback.
So what issues do Democrats use to put together a winning message, not just for 2014, but for the future?
Right now, the potential swing voters in Georgia are white women. The minority vote is a very secure Democratic vote. White males are very strongly committed to the GOP, and so it's kind of white women who are at the play. And to some extent, what Democrats are able to do is to simply be the counter to some positions which are quite popular among many Republicans, things such as limitations on access to abortion, opposition to things like gay marriage. These kinds of issues are ones which in the past have certainly played well for Republicans, but they may but do not have the same kind of pull and attraction with the changing electorate. And in part, it's also not the same pull among younger voters either.
Charles Bullock is the Richard B. Russell Professor of Political Science at the University of Georgia. Professor Bullock, always good to talk to you. Thanks so much, and we'll be talking some more.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.